The Prophet, peace be upon our Prophet, the last of the Prophets, Abi al-Qasim Muhammad, son of Abdullah. May peace be upon all of his relatives. May peace be upon all of his friends. May peace be upon all of the Prophets. Honorable religious scholars, my brothers and sisters, honorable crowd gathering, may peace be upon you all. God says in his holy book, we want to help those who were oppressed in the world and make them a nation, make them inherit strength, and we will help them. Of course, we saw what happened to the Pharaoh and his soldiers. They were warned, and what they were warned of actually occurred. We are very proud today to come from all of South Lebanon, for all of these people from South Lebanon to come and commemorate the anniversary of Liberation Day in Nabatiyeh. The city of Nabatiyeh is the city of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, may peace be upon him. This is the city of those who love Imam Hussein. This is the city of the popular intifada, the Ashura popular intifada, the intifada against the Zionist aggressors in the name of the leader of the martyrs. The struggle in Nabatiyeh was in the name, or the same as the struggle of the leader of the martyrs. You who came from all of the cities of the south and all of the villages of the south to celebrate this anniversary of victory, you of course played a primary role in bringing about a victory and in commemorating such an occasion. You are worthy of this. You are the leaders. You are the martyrs. You are the prisoners. You are the wounded. You are the mujahideen, the fighters. You are the supporters of their resistance, the people who support their resistance. You are the ones who have played the primary role. And on this anniversary of liberation, you were able to bring about this liberation by your blood, by the strength of and muscle of your sons, by your perseverance and your solidarity and your sacrifices with your bodies. In this way, you were able to make victory and liberation possible. And God blessed us and blessed you as well. Of course, the reward was liberation, and you were worthy of God's help. You, of course, were promised by God, and so you looked up to God and you thank God. You praised God and you rewarded your victory to all of Lebanon, to the whole nation, and to the whole Ummah. May peace be upon you. May peace be upon you all. May peace be upon you, you who refuse humiliation, you who protect your countries, you who always stick to your positions. May peace be upon you, you who have honorable, dignified thinking, you people who never abandon, never give up their dignity and honor. You never deterred or bowed down to the aggressors. And when those people, the Zionists, tried to harm you, and when the rest of the world supported the Zionists in their approach, when they gave you a choice, either war or surrender, you raise your voices high and you use your blood and determination. Young people, old people, all of you screamed out, just like Imam Hussein said in Karbala, we will not be humiliated. May peace be upon you, You honorable people, these thousands of people who are gathered here, you people who have always refused oppression and humiliation, never did you bow down and accept the dictations of the Zionists and their supporters. When the Zionists and their supporters gave you a choice either of war or surrender, between staying, existing, living in a struggle or living in a peaceful society but in a humiliating way, you raised your voices. Men, women, children, old people, young people, all of you raised your voices, just like your Imam said in Karbala, we will not be humiliated. So the resistance and the martyrs and the martyrdom operations all happened, and the detainees and the wounded and the perseverance, the standing up in spite of all sufferings, hunger, destroying of homes, in spite of all this, many of the Lebanese stood solidly with their own two feet on the ground. This led to the holy victory on the 25th of May, year 2000. My dear brothers and sisters, we are now celebrating a great occasion, the anniversary of victory, the anniversary of the resistance. This is a very, very important point, and we are approaching a very important event, the Lebanese legislative elections, which will be held on the 7th of June. And I have a lot to say, but because we will commemorate this anniversary today in Nabatiyye, and on Monday, of course, in southern Beirut, we'll also commemorate this event. And next Friday, actually, we will have another commemoration in Baalbek. So I have three speeches, actually. This is one of them. So I divided the subjects in three. I have three subjects. I'm going to, of course, so whatever I don't mention today, I'll mention on Monday or Friday. So I'm not going to speak about all the issues today. For this reason, in today's speech, I will have a general speech about the general issues, but I will speak especially about the situation in South Lebanon. In my speech in Dahiya, southern Beirut, it will be general, but it will also be specifically for southern Beirut, the inhabitants of Beirut and Mount Lebanon. And of course, at the third and last speech in the city of the Sun, the city of Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, I will have a general speech, and I will also focus on the situation in Baalbek. Today, my speech is in Nabatiyye, and I have many issues and topics I will like to go through briefly as much as I can. The first topic is concerning the resistance vis-a-vis the state, the Lebanese state. The resistance and the state. I will also speak about the Israeli spy networks, and I will also briefly speak about the cluster bombs, growth, and in the end I will speak about the parliamentary elections, the electoral divisions, the electoral lists from Jezzine to Nabatiyye to Tyre to Zahrani to Bint Jbeil to Hasbeya. So these are the subjects. Of course, Sayda is for its own people. So these are the subjects I'll be covering in today's speech. Now, the first issue, as I said, the relation between the resistance and the Lebanese state. Ever since 1948, ever since the Zionist entity was founded, southern Lebanon, or Lebanon in general, but especially southern Lebanon, and the villages on the border with occupied Palestine, the border villages. Now, South Lebanon was always in the circle of threats, was always subject to threats and always subject to greed, to its water was threatened, its resources were threatened of being taken over by the Israelis. The southern Lebanon was also subject to aggression ever since 1948. It was always threatened with aggression. This is something which our fathers and grandfathers know. Maybe, of course, our generation who was born in the 1950s or 60s is not very well aware of this. But the fathers and grandfathers, may they live longer, still exist, are still present and speak about this. Even in history books, in certain official documents on the media, this is all mentioned. From the very beginning, southern Lebanon was subject to threats, greed and aggression, and always in danger. And from the very beginning, the alternative for the people in southern Lebanon was the state, resorting to assistance from the state or help from the state. If we go back to the stances taken by our religious scholars and our politicians and our poets, and those who used to speak for the people, on behalf of the people, it was very clear that the alternative, the choice for the inhabitants of southern Lebanon was the state. I would like to mention one document which has very, very high value and which also has very far-reaching effects. It was by Mr. Sharaf al-Din. Now, in 1949, and this is from a history book, actually, this quote. It says the following: after the Hula massacre, a Hula massacre which was committed by the Zionists, a brutal massacre in the Hula village in southern Lebanon, very similar to the Deir Yassin and Kfar Qasim massacre. After that, Mr. Abad Hussein Sharaf al-Din, Imam Abad Hussein Sharaf al-Din, sent a letter to that time to the Lebanese president at that time, Sheikh Abshara Khoury. What he said in that letter, he was speaking about Lebanon and about independence, about the hopes and the aspirations. He says the following: we believe, he meant the Lebanese, we believe that we were in great danger and that the enemy might achieve victory, but Lebanon and especially South Lebanon were disappointed. The people of South Lebanon were disappointed, were very disappointed, because the ministries, the Lebanese ministries, of course, he was speaking here about the ignorance that the Lebanese state not paying attention to South Lebanon. So the ignorance, the forgetting of South Lebanon was from the very beginning in the 1940s. The ignorance of the ministries and their preoccupation with other issues, which take certain topics so lightly and which make us lose our patience and which leads us to a dead end, such a policy has led to a Nakba in South Lebanon. It's the blood of the people of South Lebanon has been shed. Our villages have been subject to the assaults. Assaults from who? From the Zionists. The children's hearts are full of fear and despair, because what happened in South Lebanon brought about a state of total chaos. This is a document from a certain religious scholar. And of course, I want to answer here to those politicians who say, let's go to the table of national dialogue, those who say that Lebanon from 1948 to 1970 was never subject to any Israeli assault and Israel never attacked Lebanon except after the Palestinian factions came to Lebanon and the Palestinians began launching military operations against Israel from Lebanon. This is what some Lebanese allege. One of the Lebanese politicians who participated in the table of national dialogue, who's maybe, of course, sitting in with the crowd, isn't that right? Haj Ali. Haj Ali appears to be one of that person who is a Hezbollah MP. Of course, there was a copy for the Al-Safir newspaper, and It was photocopied and it was distributed to the members of the Table of National Dialogue. Once again, he repeated. What's the problem? For 50 years, Israel has been continuing these maneuvers. But for 50 years, Israel has been launching wars on Lebanon and killing the people of Lebanon and destroying our villages in South Lebanon. But they never pay attention to this. Now, Imam Sharaf al-Din in that document continues as the following. Mount Amil or South Lebanon is paying the price of this ignorance, of this preoccupation with other less important issues. South Lebanon and Mount Amil is being struck, is being humiliated by the Zionists. And here I'd like to interrupt this quote and say, Mr. Sharaf al-Din, be sure, South Lebanon, Mount Amil has now begun with an intifada, a revolution, and has refused humiliation. This great area is being humiliated and struck because of those people who ignored what was going on. This area, which is playing, where the inhabitants were playing their role and pay taxes, but are not getting what they deserve, as if South Lebanon is the losing partner. And here I remind you, South Lebanon is still the losing partner. So, Mr. Sharaf al-Din continues, as if the Lebanese are a losing partner who are paying the high price without getting any benefits. You, the president of Lebanon, do you think it was appropriate to act? Of course, Mr. Sharaf al-Din continues and says, I wish we could help Hula, which was subject to this massacre. And then Imam Sharaf al-Din continues, Mr. President, if you have no ability to protect South Lebanon, can't you take care of South Lebanon at least? If you can't defend, if you can't fight for the country, can't you at least wipe the tears away, heal the wounds, feed the hungry? And if the rights are not served, why should we continue in this way? And in the end, Mr. Sharaf al-Din tells the Lebanese president at that time, if you read peace from South Lebanon, say, may peace be upon you and on Lebanon, meaning Lebanon will cease to exist. Now, I remind you, this quote is from 1948. On what occasion? On the occasion of the Hula massacre, the brutal, ugly massacre which led to tens of people being killed, tens of martyrs from the Hula village in South Lebanon. So from the very beginning, the issue of South Lebanon and the inhabitants of South Lebanon was calling for help from the state. They always called on the state to provide assistance. After Imam Sharaf al-Din, we saw Imam Musa Sadr, who took his responsibility. At the beginning of the 1960s, ever since the kidnapping of Imam Musa Sadr, his rhetoric and his language was very clear. And Imam Musa Sadr always spoke to the presidents, the heads of state. He always said South Lebanon is part of the country. Send your army to South Lebanon to protect the country. Come and defend the country. You are responsible for these territories, for this water, for the inhabitants of this area. But nobody answered. Nobody reacted to these calls. Now, there are two cases. Let's not speak about collaboration with the enemy, but there are two cases, two scenarios. We can say they're either being careless, as if South Lebanon is not part of a country, just like any other part of Lebanon, which is being ignored. And if we want to have good intentions towards the Lebanese state, we could say they're too weak to take action. They were either ignorant or incapable, or in between the two, in between being incapable and too weak. Now, in the end, Imam Musa al-Sadr was obliged to call on the inhabitants of South Lebanon to take up arms, to buy arms, and to carry arms. And we all remember those days, the Kalashnikov, the very, very ordinary weapons, I believe. Many of our colleagues remember those weapons which were used. And Imam Musa al-Sadr laid the foundations of the Lebanese resistance. And Imam Musa al-Sadr called on all the young people to train and to go to the war fronts in Taibi and in other areas in order to defend South Lebanon and the inhabitants of South Lebanon. But he did not stop his calls for the Lebanese state to take its responsibility. He repeated these calls to the Lebanese state to defend the inhabitants of South Lebanon and to defend this area. After that, we saw the Israeli invasion in 1982. At that time, the Lebanese state was also absent. And I don't want to go into the details of that bloody, very difficult time. You, the sons of Imam Musa al-Sadr, in the Amal movement and in Hezbollah, side by side with your brothers and with your colleagues in the Islamic and resistance factions and the Palestinian factions as well, all of you together confronted the occupation and you were able to drive the occupation out and you defeated the occupation. All this happened at a time where the Lebanese state was occupied in another world, in another universe. Except for the last few years before liberation, especially during the presidency of the former Lebanese president, Emil Lahoud, at that time, there was a clear turn, a clear transforming in the official position towards the resistance and the support of the resistance and to stand with the resistance. This was shown very clearly ever since the governments which were formed during the presidency of Emil Lahoud, the government of Saleh al-Hussein, the government of Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, and the government of Prime Minister Omar Karami. So during the presidency of Lahoud, we did see more support, a better stance from the Lebanese state towards the resistance. And we also, on this day, we must salute the stances which have been taken by President Michel Suleiman ever since he became president, or even when he was head of the Lebanese army. But except for these years, except for these periods which I mentioned, other than that, the Lebanese state has been preoccupied with another issue or has been living in another world. Do you know, my dear people, do you know what your crime is, what crime you have committed, what you are guilty of? You are guilty of refusing the occupation. It was required that you would accept the occupation. You are guilty of resisting, of practicing resistance. You were required to deter, to bow down. You are also guilty of fighting with your chests, fighting with these clenched fists, fighting with the stones, with the iron, with some very, very ordinary weapons at a time where the whole world abandoned you. And your big crime is not just that you practice resistance. Your bigger crime, the huge crime, is that you achieved victory and that you defeated Israel and that you were able to regain your territories and liberate your detainees. This achievement put those people in the corner, put all of those who were silent, all of those who were afraid, all of those who are weak, all of those who had given up and deterred. This victory actually put them in a difficult situation, put them in a corner. And all of those people who took this stance insist on punishing you for achieving this victory. When you all together confronted the July 2006 war, which they wanted to crush you, and when you stood solidly with perseverance, and when all honorable people in Lebanon and the Ummah stood side by side with you, and you achieved victory in July 2006, this was the biggest crime ever you committed. a crime which is unforgiving from their perspective. The unforgivable crime which you have committed is your victory in July, in the July 2006 war, and you're going back to your territories on the 14th of July, of August, sorry. And, of course, after the July 2006 war, I met with the Lebanese Parliament Speaker, Nabih Berri, and he told me on that day, he told me, we must be cautious and vigilant. They will not allow us to celebrate this victory, and they will work day and night in order for we to, in order that we pay a high price for this victory. So when we are at war, we pay a high price. If we are defeated, we pay a high price. And if we achieve victory, we pay a high price, a big price. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, on the on the day of resistance and liberation, once again, we renew this call and we say, yes, we want a Lebanese state. But what kind of state? A state which only takes taxes? No. A state full of companies, investment companies, a country where all areas are ignored? No, we want a strong state. We want a capable state. We want a just state. We want a courageous state, a responsible state. We want a state with its army, with its security services, with its political authority. We want this state to defend South Lebanon and to protect South Lebanon and to work for the dignity of South Lebanon. This is a state we want. And very frankly, we are not saying that the resistance will be a replacement for such a state, but the state which actually calls it, which forgets South Lebanon and the inhabitants of South Lebanon and never thinks of the people of South Lebanon and never defends South Lebanon, this is actually not a real state. And so we cannot say that we are a replacement for this state, because this is not a state anyway. So I tell all the Lebanese, we in the Lebanese opposition, we want to build a strong, capable, serious state, a state which is serious in defending its territories and its water and its sovereignty and its people and its dignity. And with you, with your help, with your will, with your elections on the 7th of June and with the will of the Lebanese patriots, we will build such a strong state, God willing. This state must gain the trust of the people, must gain the faith of the people in its ability, in practice, in seriousness, in a serious approach, in a strong presence, in the continuing to monitor all issues, to confront and to address everything, to tackle all problems which people are facing, not with slogans. If we were to make thousands of speeches and say the state has a decision for peace and war when the state is really absent, if we say this 1,000 times, if we say 1,000 times we want to impose the sovereignty of the state at the time where the state does not take its responsibility, this won't solve a problem. So talk is not important. We solve a problem when we have a state that can convince its people that it is strong and that pledges to protect the people of Lebanon and to protect the dignity of these people. This is the first issue, maybe the longest subject. Second of all, the second issue, the Israeli spying rings or spying networks. First of all, we must salute and pay tribute to the efforts of the Lebanese security services and the Lebanese army and all the security services in the country. And we believe these are the appropriate efforts. This is the primary duty of the Lebanese security services. This is the right track to keep going on, and we must continue on the same track. And the efforts which have been made in the past few weeks concerning the Israeli spying ring. See, when we have a serious approach, when they take their responsibility, we get the respect, we gain the respect of the people and confidence of people in you. This is what we want. We don't want any moral victory. Of course, the security of a resistance, let's put that aside. What we are concerned with is that these spy networks be dismantled and that the spies be arrested and that the eyes of the Zionists will be blinded so that we could hold on to our country. And let's give the medals of this achievement to whoever wants these medals, the reward of this achievement to whoever wants this reward. Now, there are a few points I want to point out to in the spying networks issue. First of all, there was cooperation, popular cooperation. The Lebanese people cooperated with the Lebanese security services, families, people, and politicians from different political parties. Everyone who had information, who had certain comments, of course, everyone who has such information must give this information to the Lebanese security services. First and second of all, we must uncover any spies, regardless of their religious identity, regardless of which family they belong to, wherever they may be. We must not protect any spy. We must not provide any justifications for any spy. I stress on this, don't provide justifications for any spy. Betrayal and collaboration with the enemy is a crime which has no justification whatsoever. The third point, I call in your name, of course you could support me and you could refuse my call, but in your name, I call in the name of the families of the martyrs, in the name of the families of the wounded and those whose homes were destroyed, those who were forced to abandon their houses, those who paid taxes to rebuild the infrastructure. On behalf of them, I call on the death penalty against all of the spies who gave information which led to all these sufferings in Lebanon. This talk about imprisonment for 1 or 2 months or 1 or 2 years or 10 years is unacceptable. This is not the way to provide national security. And whoever takes this issue lightly is a partner in the bloodshed of the Lebanese. Whoever takes the issue of the spy networks lightly is a partner in the bloodshed of the Lebanese. And so, let me be frank here. At the same time, I must be very stern. Don't play around with the judicial. Don't say 6 plus 6 repeated. 6 plus 6 repeated means, of course, even say 6 spies for the Shia, 6 for the Sunni, 6 for the Christians. I tell you, begin with the death penalty against the Shiite spies. Begin with the Shiite spies. Of course, stressing here on not to play the sectarian game when it comes to punishing the spies. The fourth point, I call today, I would like to speak to the rest of the spies and their spy networks who haven't been arrested and who are still in Lebanon. I'd like to tell them, you have been totally uncovered and we will reach you soon. And so I propose to you to very quickly surrender, to turn yourselves in to the Lebanese security services and to the Lebanese judiciary. And maybe if you take such a step, this could help in lightening up and bring about a more lenient punishment. And you spies must know that you have no value from the Israeli perspective. The Israelis don't value you at all. From the Israelis' perspective, you are just one piece of sand for the Israelis. So be aware and quickly go back to your people, come back to your people, come back to the state before it is too late. turn yourselves in before you are detained. The fifth point, we in Hezbollah, we always cooperated with the Lebanese security services. But I announce today that we in the resistance, we will do our utmost and we will cooperate to the highest level without any reservations with all of the Lebanese official service, security services. We will do this in order to achieve the aim to clean Lebanon out of the spying networks and of all the spies. The sixth main point, we must cooperate and we must coordinate in providing the appropriate political environment. We must not allow the political divisions and the sectarian divisions in this country, we must not allow these divisions to reach a stage whereby we justify spying activities. And I would also like to turn your attention, to turn the attention of all of our people, especially in the villages, in the big cities, usually things are forgotten. But in the villages, dead people aren't dead even after hundreds of years pass. I would like to say we want to behave in a responsible, legitimate, brotherly way. The Holy Quran says, do not increase the fire, do not help those who have practiced oppression against you. The spies, of course, whatever family they belong to, from wherever they may be, their mothers and fathers are not guilty of anything. Sometimes mothers and fathers give birth to martyrs. So the wife, the children, the daughters of the spy are guilty of nothing. So for this reason, it is enough that such a spy has humiliated his family. And so none of us should increase this humiliation for their family. The families of these spies are our families, our loved ones. So they're guilty of nothing just because their husbands or their relatives are spies. We must stand side by side with them because their pain is the biggest pain, the most difficult pain ever. I know and you know, especially in South Lebanon, you know the feelings of any family, any father or mother, any wife, son or daughter, when it is proven that their father or their relative is a spy. So, once again, I stress on the necessity of being merciful to the families of these spies. We need, of course, Allah calls for people to behave in accordance with His achieving, accordance with His teachings. God is merciful, of course. God is forgiving, and He also punishes. I call on you to be merciful towards the families, but to be harsh towards the spies. Once again, of course, be merciful and forgiving to the families of the spies. Now, one more point in the spying rings is the following. Of course, I'm going to mention the spying networks as well in my other two speeches next week, but one more point about the spying rings is that those people, because the spying rings are not always networks, they might be one person. The Israelis contact either one individual. Of course, the highest number is maybe a small number of people. Even if one person is arrested, another person will not be arrested. Or if one network is apprehended, the other network won't be apprehended. The spies and the spy networks are not just working to gather information. We have another duty for these spies, which is more dangerous than gathering information. Some of these people actually implement. One of these spies, actually, we found 20 kilograms of TNT explosives in the house of one of these spies. Why did he have these explosives in his home? This is a question. Don't we need an answer? Why don't we stop on this? We have spies who gather information. If they want to protect themselves at home, they can use RPG, they can use a gun. But what would he be doing with 20 kilograms of TNT? So they also implement. There are certain spies, such as Mahmoud Rafia, who confessed that they transported suitcases and bags full of explosives. There are certain spies who actually were given the duty of implementing, who went and performed surveillance operations in preparation for killing. There were certain spies who facilitated the entry of certain Israelis and then went with the Israelis and facilitated the exit from Lebanon. So we must take into consideration this perspective of spying activity, the implementation side. Now, those who had certain stances towards the spying activities must be convinced that this Israeli track must be investigated. We must investigate into these Israeli activities, and we might discover in the end that many have connections with the assassinations and with the bombings which happened in Lebanon, especially after or during the year 2005 and after that, meaning Israel may very well have played a part in the political assassinations in Lebanon. Some of these spies had a role to play in creating internal divisions, whether they be sectarian divisions or territorial divisions. But also, some of those spies even confessed that one of the roles they had to play was to create divisions between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. Even in the last couple of years, it has been shown to us now that in certain villages, in spite of the positive atmosphere which we witness, and I will speak about this shortly, in spite of the positive relations, positive environment and atmosphere between Hezbollah and the Amal movement, despite of the very good social, family, cultural atmosphere, positive atmosphere we have in South Lebanon, sometimes we had certain problems, and some were trying to increase these problems. Then we discovered that those who were creating these problems were appointed by Israel to create such divisions. So we must be very, very vigilant, and we must keep investigating in the issue of these spies. One more issue very quickly, the cluster bombs fields. Of course, we were able to dismantle many of these cluster bombs. Many institutions took part. The Lebanese army also took part in this. And the Lebanese resistance also took part and used its capabilities in cleaning up many fields. And of course, some people were killed when they were taking this step, when they were trying to clear the fields of the cluster bombs. Of course, it is the responsibility of the Lebanese government to finance such a program concerning the dismantling of the cluster bombs. But today, on this occasion, I pledge to our people in South Lebanon that if there are any incomplete steps taken towards this problem, I pledge that the resistance, its youngsters with its capabilities, with its mujahideen, will take the responsibility and will work vigorously in all territories of South Lebanon in collaboration with the Lebanese army to put an end to this issue of the cluster bombs as soon as possible. And anyway, this is part of the daily criminal war which is still being waged by Israel on our territories. The fourth point before the last subject is about growth and the water. Just a couple of words. After the liberation of South Lebanon, we went to Bint Jbeil and we had a speech. I had a speech there. Of course, at that time, our confrontation was with the Israelis. The Israelis wanted to put a flag in Bint Jbeil, but they weren't able. They wanted to put the Israeli flag in Bint Jbeil. We stood in Bint Jbeil and we said, we are not a country, we are not an alternative for the state, and we are not responsible to take the place of the state. This region has been abandoned for tens of years. Before the occupation, the Lebanese state was absent from any action, as you heard from the quotes I mentioned, and during the occupation, the Lebanese state was also absent. Now the occupation has left. Now it's a chance for the Lebanese state. Doesn't the Lebanese state say it wants to establish its sovereignty on all Lebanese territories? Why doesn't it do so now? Where was the Lebanese state during the last few years concerning the growth, bringing about growth in South Lebanon? Of course, on the contrary, people have left South Lebanon because there is no employment. After the withdrawal of the occupation, we saw a vacuum in South Lebanon because the Lebanese state didn't take its responsibilities. The Lebanese state hasn't changed. Bint Jbeil and Hasbeya and Shiba Farms and Jazin, all of these territories which were under occupation, are only known to the Lebanese state for getting taxes. The Lebanese state was absent. The Southern Lebanese Council was present, but it was isolated during the past few years as well. Okay, now, before July 2006, we could provide an excuse. You say that the Lebanese army was not deployed in South Lebanon before the July 2006 war, and you said that you were incapable of bringing about growth at that time. But now 3 years have passed after 2006. The Lebanese army has been deployed, and we have 15,000 UNIFIL, UN peacekeeping troops. What did you do during these 3 years? Where is the state which we call on today to take its responsibility? And I'd like to say as well, I'd like to add to this point, the government which will be formed by the Lebanese opposition to build a strong country will be a just country which will provide appropriate growth. And the government which is formed by the opposition will put South Lebanon as its priority. Now, concerning water, our rivers are going to the oceans and to the seas, and the Americans might come and say there is a water crisis and the Litani, the water of the Litani River, should be given to Israel. Don't you have any humanitarian feelings? You should help Israel. This is what the Americans will say. The Litani River, which was spoken about by Parliament Speaker Nabih Birri, when he announced the electoral lists, the electoral candidates' lists, the Litani River project must be worked on by all of us. And I agree with Parliament Speaker Birri, and I say that all the MPs from South Lebanon, and especially the MPs of the opposition and all the opposition MPs, will do their utmost to end this project of the Litani River and taking advantage of the water of the Litani River. This is the dream of our fathers and of our grandfathers. Once again, I'd like to quote Mr. Sharafuddin, or Imam Sharafuddin, on the 9th of December 1941. He sent a message to one of the high-ranking leaders. He reminds him of certain requests or requirements. He says, we need our people, our land, need the water of the Litani River. This water is being wasted in the oceans and in the sea. This is a letter from 1941. Now we're in 2009. He continues to say this water is being wasted in the sea, and at this time people are suffering from thirst and are being humiliated. And of course, people are forced to use other water resources. But why don't we take advantage of the resources we have of the Litani River? So this must also be a subject of attention. The fifth point is the elections, the parliamentary elections which will be held on June the 7th. Some might say in South Lebanon, there might not be a lot of competition, that the victor is known from now, and there might not be any motives for the voters to go to the electoral ballots. But I'd like to tell them, all the Lebanese territories are concerned in participation in the elections on June the 7th, but the South and the inhabitants of South Lebanon and the electoral constituencies in South Lebanon, for reasons which I will mention, are the most important participants to are the most important participants in these elections on June the 7th. Their participation is of the highest, utmost importance. Just a couple of words to speak about the electoral constituencies. I'll begin with Jazin because Jazin is an important part. Of course, we wanted to have one electoral candidate list for the opposition in Jazin, but we have two separate opposition lists, electoral opposition lists in Jazin. Both of our allies have their own interests, and we reached the conclusion as the following, that there would be two electoral lists for the Lebanese opposition. And I'd like to tell both of my allies, of course, both allies are Michel Aoun and Nabih Berri. Both of them, of course, are people who are loved in Hezbollah, both Nabih Berri and Michel Aoun. And everyone appreciates the sensitive situation we are in Jazin, but God willing, with the cooperation with the two allies, we will work in a way which will satisfy both our allies. But what I must stress in Jazin is that the competition of between two opposition lists must not be any justification for internal conflicts within the opposition camp, Lebanese opposition camp. We must all be present in this electoral constituency to guarantee the victory of three candidates of the opposition. Now I'll speak about the rest of the electoral constituencies. Of course, Jazin was a very sensitive issue because we have two of our allies there, but concerning the other electoral districts or constituencies, the alliances we have in the rest of the constituencies is an alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement and the rest of the national opposition factions. I would like to stress and highlight before the elections and after the elections, I would like to highlight the depth of this alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. For many years, we spoke about a strategic alliance, and our brothers in the Amal movement also spoke about a strategic alliance, and some say no. This is an alliance which has been imposed on them, as if two people who are marrying against their will. But the years and the experience and the events which occurred and the challenges, the difficult challenges which we faced, and we all know that the past 5 years and what happened to Lebanon, the political, security and military events which we witnessed in Lebanon has proven that this alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement is a strategic, historic, strong, solid alliance, as strong as South Lebanon and the Amil and Mount Amil. And nobody should put their money on any weakness in this alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. And I would like to assure you that this alliance was the main reason which enabled us to achieve victory in the July 2006 war, when we cooperated in public and in the community, in culture, in the resistance, in all villages, in every area, in every house, in every family, when we cooperated and when we completed each other, and when the rest of the honorable people supported us in the country. The environment which was subject to most targets, which were subject to most bombings, the villages, the markets, which were targeted the most, which were bombed uniquely from the Zionists, was the environment of Hezbollah and the Amal movement. We, of course, we stood together because we had common wounds, because we belong to the same leader, because we belong to the same cause and to the same destiny. And I would like to say, not just during the July 2006 war, this alliance was an important part, a strong, important part of the alliance of the Lebanese opposition. The Lebanese opposition was able to prevent one of the most dangerous plots in the history of the country. We were able to prevent one of the most dangerous plots from being successful. This alliance was also a very important part and played a indispensable role in the opposition. And God willing, this alliance will help achieve victory for the Lebanese opposition on the 7th of June, and hence this will help to save Lebanon once again. This alliance is in the Lebanese national interests, first of all, and this is also an interest for South Lebanon. It's in the interest of South Lebanon. And the primary beneficiary of this strategic alliance, whether it be from the security, strength, or dignity, or cooperation perspective, is South Lebanon and the inhabitants of South Lebanon. And I would like to assure you as well, of course, the rest of the alliances, I'll speak about them in my future speeches. In southern Beirut, I'll speak about our alliance with the Free Patriotic Movement. But I'd like to assure you now that there are many politicians today in Lebanon who put their money, and who are still putting their money, who still believe, and in addition to that, many journalists have done their utmost to create divisions between Hezbollah and the Amal movement, between the leaderships and between the movements in general. The same approach continues to create divisions between Hezbollah and the Amal movement, and between Hezbollah and the Free Patriotic Movement, and Hezbollah and the rest of the factions in the opposition, whether they be Sunni opposition parties or Druze opposition parties or Christian opposition parties. For example, sometimes they say that the opposition is Hezbollah and all of the rest of the opposition is just part of Hezbollah, a secondary part, where Hezbollah overshadows all others. They say it's as if the Amal movement is part of Hezbollah, or as if the Free Patriotic Movement is part of Hezbollah, or this faction or that faction, Islamic or national faction in the opposition, is part of Hezbollah. They mean to insult, and they mean to provoke, and they also aim to create divisions. These are their aims. They also aim to turn the attention of the outside world, like when they say if the opposition wins, Sayyid Hassan will control the country. Not Parliament Speaker Birri, not General Michel Aoun, not the other people, figures, Omar Karami or Osama Saad or Abdul Rahim Amrad, many, many names. So I mentioned a few. I hope those whose names I didn't mention, I hope they won't be upset. I respect them all. What do they mean when these people say that Sayyid Hassan will control the country when they speak in this rhetoric? They're speaking actually to America and to the West. They're trying to tell the West, if the opposition wins, look who'll take over the country. And they know in the previous National Unity Government, we were very noble and we didn't care a lot about taking power, about grabbing power. Let me tell you, in the next government, we will serve our allies and we will work for our allies. So we will not control the country. But some are using this rhetoric to provoke and to turn certain politicians in the opposition against each other. But Hezbollah and the Amal movement and the supporters of these movements will not buy such talk. Hezbollah and Amal and the Amal movement are brotherly movements, two movements which are vigilant and which are independent, which coordinate. And as it was said by Sheikh Raghib Harab, whoever wants to create divisions will never be able to do so. In our confrontation against any approach, any provokeful rhetoric, in such a confrontation, we depend on the high trust, the strong bond and ties between us, which overcame politics and political interests. It's about sympathy, friendship, love. Our ties are based on this, and for this reason we can overcome any approach to create divisions. So, in this perspective, in the other electoral constituencies, many wrote about percentages, grabbing certain percentages of representation in the parliament. I believe, I don't know if there is any similar situation, when we sat down with our brothers in the Amal movement, when we sat down to speak about the candidates' lists and the distribution between Hezbollah and the Amal movement, the whole process took 15 minutes. If I'll tell you 5 minutes, you might say, oh, 5 minutes is such a short period of time. So I'll say 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, the process was ended between Hezbollah and the Amal movement about the candidates. Now you'll say, what do you do for the rest of the time? I'd like to say what we did for the rest of the time. We sat with Nabih Birri. We enjoy his company. We have no problem. We have no problem with numbers or percentages. The candidates lists which we have announced, we are convinced with these lists, we are satisfied, and we took the initiative for the formation of these electoral lists, and we didn't have any requirements as some people expected. Some people expected Hezbollah will have certain requirements, will have certain conditions to set. Now, some on the internet websites are saying Hezbollah is once again speaking about the religious duty of participating in the elections. The level of vigilance, the level of responsibility, the sufferings which you have been through during the past few years, you don't need anyone to tell you what your religious duty is. Today, I will tell you Hezbollah's stance very clearly. Our aim in these elections, and I'm going to repeat this, with Dahi and with Baalbek, with all Lebanese areas, our aim is that the opposition win the parliamentary majority, not because we want power, but because we want to save Lebanon from certain plots, from certain ideas, etc., etc. It's not important what percentage, what fraction we will get in this majority as Hezbollah, how much seats Hezbollah will have in the parliament. It's a political issue. Some people might say that we have problems with a person X or Y in a certain electoral constituency. Here it's also an ethical issue, being honorable to Lebanon, to the people of Lebanon, to the resistance, to the army, to the generations, to the future. So for this reason, we are up against an electoral battle where we will behave in an ethical way when we commit ourselves to all the electoral candidates list of the opposition. I'll tell you that all of the candidates in these electoral constituencies, in Zahrani, in Nabatiyye, in Tyre, in Bint Jbeil, in Hasbeya, Marjayoun, all of the candidates are candidates for Hezbollah.
نحن نتعاطى
And we behave accordingly. Of course, yes. Why the South and the inhabitants of the South? Why is their participation so essential, so important? Some might ask the question, there is nobody to compete against in South Lebanon. Victory is guaranteed. The other side doesn't have any chance of success because of the support for the opposition in the electoral constituencies in the South. I'll tell you why the participation of inhabitants of South Lebanon is so important. Some people try to speak about the elections as if it's a consensus, a referendum on the resistance and on the weapons of a resistance. Those people who are concerned with the resistance are the people of South Lebanon, where the weapons of a resistance are also the people of South Lebanon. They are concerned with the resistance and its arms. Why? Because South Lebanon is the border with occupied Palestine, because South Lebanon is the front line, which is always subject to military assaults, because South Lebanon is always present, is always on the front line in Israel's greed. The rest of Lebanon's territories put up with the repercussions of the attacks on South Lebanon. So, those who are concerned with confronting, with the confrontation, those who are threatened with danger, and those people who are in danger from the greed of the Zionists, and those who are being attacked, those who are threatened with their water and with their homes, are the people of South Lebanon. And so, for this reason, the people out of South Lebanon especially are primarily concerned in expressing their position towards the resistance and towards the weapons of resistance are South Lebanon. For this reason, if you consider it's a referendum on the weapons, so their participation, the people of South Lebanon, is indispensable. Yes, the resistance protects you, and you support the resistance, and you protect the resistance. The resistance defends you, and you are defending the resistance as well, because you are the resistance, and the resistance is you. You complete one, we complete one another. So, on the 7th of June, when all the media in the whole world will look at these elections, and we see many institutions which will observe these elections in all villages, in all areas, in all cities in South Lebanon, we must show a clear wedding ceremony picture, a ceremony of victory and of martyrs and of mujahideen. This is what they should witness when they see the electoral ballots on election day. On the 7th of June, we will all go to the voting ballots, and we also will go to Lebanon to tell the whole world, we, the people of South Lebanon, whose homes were destroyed in July, will not abandon the resistance or turn our back on the resistance. We, the people of South Lebanon, whose men, women and children were killed in massacres in the July 2006 war, we will not abandon or turn our back to the resistance. On the 7th of June, this day must be a day where you prevent the plans of any collaborator, of any crazy person, anyone who wants to practice a conspiracy against the resistance. On the 7th of June, you must prevent anyone from succeeding in such an approach. And on the 7th of June, you must also prove, you people of South Lebanon, my dear loved ones, you must prove that this resistance, which is you, in your hearts and in your minds, in your fists, in your solid feet on these territories, you must prove that this resistance is for all the people of South Lebanon, a resistance for all Lebanese, a resistance which brought dignity and honor to Lebanon and victory to Lebanon and kept Lebanon alive and brought back dignity to Lebanon and also to the whole world. The flag of Lebanon was lifted high to the whole world. And on the 7th of June, you will prove once again that you are the sons of Imam Musa Sadr, as he was also the hope of the weak and the oppressed, and he raised the voices of the oppressed. You will continue with this approach and you will raise your voices against the tyrants. And in conclusion, my dear loved ones, on the 7th of June, you will prove once again, just like what happened on the 26th of September, you are the most honorable, dignified, cleansed people. May God bless you all, and may all your dreams come true. And of course, I hope God reward you for your perseverance. I wish you all the best, and God willing, we will meet again very soon. And once again, when we depend on Allah and look into your faces and depend on you and depend on your conscience and on your hearts and on your muscle, we always look with hope to the clear, decisive speech which we believe in. The era of victory has arrived and the era of losses and defeat has ended. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.